Father, we thank you, Lord, for this precious night. Today, because you are worthy of it all. We bring you, Lord, our courage, our burden. Father, we bring our thoughts all before your altar. That tonight is about you, Jesus. Tonight is all about you. You're worthy of our time, of every breath inside of our lungs. You are worthy of it all. And Father, we give you glory and honor. We say thank you, thank you, thank you for being who you are in our lives. As we honor you in this precious, beautiful night. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give a hand clap to the Lord. Amen. Worship department did an amazing job. May be seated, my dear friend. My honor to Pastor Todd tonight. I appreciate it, man of God. You're bringing, always inviting me. Hopefully it's never at risk, but I praise God for it being here. Hallelujah. But before we do pray, before we go into scripture, I do want to share Isaiah.
Amen.
Chapter 50, verse 4 and 5, and he states, "And the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is reverend. And awakens me in morning and morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear and was not rebellious, nor did I turn away." Amen. This is the verses of the house. Now, one thing is that one precious of this is entering this year.
You know, Jesus,
and I praise the Lord. And Happy New Year. I see that many of you are still plump from the holiday dinners. Hallelujah. And that's all good. But you know, one thing that I love entering the year is that the Lord has always given an opportunity to do something different from the year prior. But when we enter the new year, many things come to pass. I know all of us, and I know one of them, we go ahead and we sit down and we start writing our new year resolutions, right? And then you say, I'm going to the gym. I'm going to the gym. I'm going to walk. I'm going to get on the treadmill in the name of Jesus, right? And then what happens? Yesterday you missed, and that's 11 years straight. You know, so you're trying to figure out what way can you become better in the things of God. Well, there is one way that I have learned. And I learned this from a man of God in Venezuela. And when I went to Venezuela, this was before it collapsed because of the socialism. Venezuela was a beautiful, and it's still a beautiful country. When I went there, you see the vegetation. You see how beautiful it is. Everything grows fresh. My goodness, it tastes different here. What is this mango taste different? Well, because it doesn't have GMO. That's why. And when you go and you see how they were utilized and harnessed the actual waterfalls, they have one of the largest waterfalls in South America, and they harness it with all these ramps to take electricity that will power 30% of the city. Amazing technology, amazing. They were at the pier. But when I was there, a man picked me up, an elderly man, and he took me to the meeting. This was our first time working with this pastor's network. As we got there, this elderly man tried to pick up the actual my luggage. And we're going to be there for 10 days. So my luggage is pretty heavy, so I'm picking up, and he's trying to help. I said, "You want me to help you?" He goes, "No, I got it." And I'm seeing him, and everything is shivering about this man. I said, "Listen, I'd rather help you than pray for you after that." You know what I'm saying? So I helped the man. He took me, and when we get there, I see all the pastors gathered together, and it was on. I knew that we were going to learn some things, connect with these men and women of God. But as I was sitting down, I noticed that all of a sudden, the door opened, and all the pastors stood up in honor of the president of that network.
Hallowed be your name.
And guess who it was?
Your kingdom come, your will be done.
It was the elderly pastor who picked me up.
Give us this day our daily bread.
And I looked at him, and I stood up and said, "Man of God, what an honor! I had no idea that the one that was struggling with my luggage, right?" And he goes, "Man, this is too heavy." I was like, "Well, blame my wife." You know what I'm saying? And so when we got in, I said, "I did not know that you were the president." He says, "It's okay." He goes, "You're not supposed to know."
And you get a revelation.
And when we sat down with all the men, every single pastor started asking him. And I asked him, "How long have you been president?" And he told me, it's been many years, over a decade, they keep voting me in.
He said,
I'm trying to leave, and they keep voting me in.
Always being done on
every single one start asking questions, and I ask him, "So how is it? How did you bring
we want to see
this
I want
influence
to see the will of God
upon your
in
people,
my life,
especially for us men and women of God. I said,
I want to
learn
him,
what you have.
Honor and glory.
How can I draw influence?
And one day we're all going to stand before
to
the
reach
judgment
the people.
Seat of Christ and give an account.
And he said, as they brought in my coffee and they brought in bananas. So we were drinking coffee and eating bananas.
His will is not
always dipping it, but separate.
Discussions with people.
And as we're eating, he tells me this. He goes, X, this is how you gain influence.
And it's not God's will for people to die of cancer.
Always find the simplicity of the wisdom of Jesus in the Bible. He says, see, you need to know that Jesus is the wisdom of
God.
Abused. And everything in Scripture that Jesus came out of his mouth is pure wisdom. The thing is that people see it as very simplistic. But he said, but truth is always simple.
So I'm praying for God's will.
So don't complicate it. The wisdom of God is right in front of us. So when in need, always ask.
For if you forgive men their trespasses.
He said, do you want influence? He goes, Matthew 20:26 tells us this. He says, yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant.
As ministers and as shepherds.
He says, you see all these pastors are here. Many of them could be my child.
Sometimes the wounds can be so great.
Yet
I
serve them like they're
my child.
I see their wives like my daughters. I see their kids like my grandkids. And so a call here, a text, a small visit to help them, all of a sudden I become a servant to them. And you know what they do? They place me in their position.
Where people are just bound up.
You see, he told me this. When you grasp the wisdom of Jesus,
the Bible talks about three types of sin, basically.
You must serve all, and then you'll be great. He says, if you do that, son, you'll have more influence than your life will span.
Iniquity.
So Jesus himself, we know that he was a servant.
Iniquity.
You want to have great impact here
in the Hebrew, and it's
upon this particular year in your ministry and your calling, what you need
but
to do,
like
well,
says
we
Elon.
Have to learn from this Venezuelan leader. He told me, be a servant.
Iniquity is the sin.
When you serve them, you love them, you place them first. You understand that title does not give you influence. People will give you the title.
Something that works on your inside is going to damage you.
Many of them call me apostle. He goes, I'm not an apostle. Many of them call me their pastor. I never ordained them. Some of them call me their papa. I'm not their daddy.
The Bible says if you have relations with someone, you become one with them.
Yet, because
one of the things we do is we take authority over that, and we break that union
among them.
Those people have gotten involved.
And that's why
watch the freedom that they get.
Every single
Jesus said,
year.
You got to really catch
if we
this.
Want to have an impact this year as ministers,
earth,
as men and women of God, as Christians,
but
we have to look upon those that the Lord has
sins.
Allowed to be
and
in our circle of influence and then influence
the
them by serving them first.
And by the
how can I
Holy Spirit,
make you a better Christian?
You can see
how can I place you on my shoulder so you can look further? How can I
no
sweep your path
the Lord gave it to
so
me,
it could be clear?
People were glorious.
And when we do that, I
so
guarantee
free.
You, my dear friend,
and
you'll have more
ahead,
influence. The people all
a
of
lot
a sudden
people are gonna come
start coming to you, asking you,
the Lord
how
is
can
gonna
I help?
Set him free and is gonna
you know, Zig Ziglar was a great
darkness.
Man of God that moved in the business sector.
But I have found
and Zig Ziglar said, if you help people get what they
thing.
Want, they
it's extremely
will help you
deceptive,
get what
you want. And you could have unforgiveness.
And to do that, it's sure.
And not realize it.
So this year, let's impact. Let's make it different. But not so much of
and,
a crowd, so
you know,
many.
When I think about
just look among those
are
around
damaged
you.
And they're hurt and they're wounded and,
how
know,
many of the five
the
that closest to you can you serve?
And everything else.
I guarantee you, they'll sweep
here
the path for you after
is
you
used interchangeably
for
in the Old Testament with
I learned that from. And
by
I said,
the word,
thank you,
by the way,
God.
The word iniquity,
he
you
said,
see
remember
it in the
X,
New Testament, but oftentimes it's translated as lawlessness,
Jesus,
wickedness.
So I left and I praise the Lord. Every single time we go to a particular area, we always ask that the pastors prepare food for us.
Have you ever seen somebody get
so this particular pastor prepared some food. He said, okay, we're going to go to this pastor and his
it's
home. So they picked it up and we went to his house.
It's quite profound.
When we got there, you know, his precious wife came over and she gave me coffee and a banana.
Checking my heart.
So I'm there. I said, I guess this is a culture thing. So I'm there eating, you know, my banana and drinking my coffee at the same time. And we started discussing and talking about what was going on, because that night we were going to have a crusade, an open-air crusade in San Felix in Venezuela. But in the middle of our conversation, all of a sudden, I hear the police sirens going through the block.
And they're making accusations
against you. And then they start speaking.
What they're doing is they are,
please do not leave your home. There is a tigre outside.
And in essence, what they're doing,
now a tigre
is being persecuted.
Means tiger.
And then people come up
now I'm from
and
Nicaragua,
say,
in Venezuela. So you talk about Latin America, South America, or Spanish, and not that different. So I know what tigre is. So I say, hey, Pastor, let me ask you something.
Really,
did the police just say,
what am I doing?
There's a tiger outside?
Can you give me their name where I can go to them?
He goes, yes. You see, this morning the news told us that the nearby zoo
and the enemy
forgot that the zookeeper left the gate open.
Christians to persecute other Christians.
And now there's a tiger
and it's so deceptive.
Loose in the city. Like, what the world? We're going to have an open air crusade here in the city.
He
goes, well, I don't know. He was telling, we cannot stay.
And you're going to have to judge what comes out of your mouth.
There we go. They stayed.
Bob talks about in
1
Corinthians 10.
For 4 hours, I stayed.
You've got to look and see what's coming out. And you know,
waiting for them to capture
that. The mouth is where we get in trouble.
And as I drank already my fourth cup of coffee.
It's a deadly ruly thing.
And my fourth banana.
Flames of fire, you know, and so forth.
He starts to
no
confess.
No one can tame the tongue, but I'm telling you, if you submit it to God, He will enable you to shut
my
up.
My wife and I, we're talking about divorce. We're breaking inside. I do everything for the church. I do this and I do that, and we have served God and we love the Lord, and we fast and pray, we worship, we grew up, we saw people come to Jesus, and now my wife is saying that she wants to get divorced.
I spoke before.
I remember the wise man.
But I look back and
he told me the day before, when in need,
why did I say those words?
So I said, Pastor,
and I thought,
let us pray.
You know, if I can find
and as I
them,
prayed, I asked Jesus,
I
Jesus,
them and ask them for,
grant
to forgive
us
me.
Wisdom for
but
this
a lot
situation.
Of times, years have gone by, and the Lord,
and the Lord brought me to the scripture
that passed away,
in the book of Luke 10, 40, verse 42. Luke 10, verse 40 and 42, it states, but Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has let me serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.
And because of their doctrine,
and Jesus answered,
you know,
and said to her,
something. So
Martha,
anybody
Martha,
who prophesies,
you
they don't
are worried and
today.
Troubled about
but
many
something.
Things.
If you take this
but
word
one thing
and give
is
it to
needed,
somebody
and Mary has
out of your neighborhood,
chosen
lock them up into a room and say, here, read this.
This is the wisdom of Jesus concerning
priorities.
If you want this year to not only start but finish strong, you not only have to learn how to serve beyond yourself, but understand the power of priorities. And how do you do that? Well, you do that, my dear friend, by bringing forth what we understand as, well, boundaries. And boundaries is necessary for every Christian that wants to grow rooted and produce fruit in this year. Why? Because the Bible tells us that Mary wasn't doing something wrong. We understand that Martha herself wasn't doing something wrong. She just chose the good part. The good part. So I told this pastor, what is the things that are occurring?
For the Baptist faith,
you know, all this time that you have allowed, you're serving, it's good to serve the church, it's good to do this, it's good to do that, and everything that we think to serve the Lord, but you have to place priority, and church is not priority. Our family is priority. It's always going to be God, family, then church.
When this revival,
and the reason why so many
Jack
have
Deere
given themselves is because they tried to mix
up and
church and God together, and they're not. It's two different things. God is our relationship today that we walk every single day. Church is a service where you go and you assemble together as one. I mean, but the problem is, and I know because next week we're going to do a pastor's conference where we also do marriage conference for their wives. And you know that many of them want to get divorced. Why? Because they'll put boundaries between them and their family members.
it will.
So you have to put boundaries even within this.
Bitter.
Understand and put our priorities first. Many of us mix that. And we think, well, we're Christians, we have to let them in. No, that's what he was doing. He was letting people inside of his family, inside of his home, inside of his time with his marriage. He's sitting down and dining table, receive a call, ring, ring, and he picked up a hello, and just cross the boundary. We all. Nobody here, if you work in the business sector, try to call your CEO at 7 o'clock at night.
I promise you, you will.
Go ahead and WhatsApp him at night. Hey, I'm feeling sad.
And he's just easily getting saved, you know.
Boundaries.
Will you come? Impartation is different.
But we cannot teach others what we do not practice.
When I first moved down
here. Because I know the cost.
So you go,
great Lord, Bible and in the meantime,
what are the things
and
that
I just, when I sat in front
I'm not placed in priority
I wanted
last
what
year
Jesus
that I have to place now?
You know,
place
I'm it
because
I've been exposed
because
to a lot
you
of
better make sure you said,
put your marriage
here's
not
things.
That I was worshiping
put
ministers
your
around
health
here,
you
I saw
you.
The gift
put your children third. And then from there, you start building a foundation that is solid. But you build
your
boundaries. You build boundaries.
You
text me at 9 at night, and I know.
And give
you're not supposed to be texting me at that time. I'll text you the next morning. You know why? Because I know it's not an emergency.
Going
and,
to speak,
and if it is, you,
walk out
you should call an ambulance.
That's where it's got
to
go.
Every single one of us need to know
boundaries.
Because
they may
cross them.
Get around you and really kind of feel funny around you.
So let's learn this year to place boundaries. Because after that, the Lord will allow us, just like Mary. And it's not that you're in sin.
We're not well
she has that, and
she
can
just didn't choose the good part.
And she leads people to the Lord, and just
well,
you know,
after 4 hours and so many bananas, they caught all
to, Dallas, and,
they caught it, and I praised the Lord.
They
took the tiger, they picked me up, and we went to the crusade site. When we got to the crusade site, I noticed that there was a circle of ushers. Now, they're open air. If you've never seen or been involved in an open air crusade, we rented a field. In that field, we placed a stage. It will become an altar during the service. Then you have the preacher, the evangelist, on top preaching the gospel, and it's open. We have chairs, open air. That's why it's called open air. It's a beautiful experience. The Holy Spirit moves in a powerful way. But also,
and
we understand that the enemy does not like that.
Not
we're about to take territory. He doesn't like people being poking on him, especially if he's there. So we went in there, and we noticed that there was a circle of ushers guys together. They started rebuking and this and that. I'm hearing that they're fighting in a circle. So I get there, and when I get there, I notice that every single one of them are rebuking the devil. And I asked the hosting pastors, what's going on here? Why everybody's are the chairs are not are still stacked? They have to be spread out. The people will be here in 2 hours. They go, well, you ain't here. Well, I know I was stuck because of a tiger and banana and coffee. Don't worry about it. You know, there's things that we have to get this done. So he said, no, the thing is that there were some babalaos. Babalaos are like warlocks, witch doctors. And they came over and they were performing. And they scared the ushers, and the ushers left. So when the pastors came over, there was nobody there. And there were bones everywhere. You could see bones and scattered and pieces of chickens and everything of the ceremonies that they did to curse the land. And I grabbed that and said, what are we doing? He said, no. So we prayed in the name of Jesus. Remember what the wise man said. He goes, when in need, ask Jesus. So we gathered together right there in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Jesus, what will you do when we have to face demons? Well, we know this because in Mark 16:17-18 tells us clearly, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils, and they will speak in new tongues, and they shall take up serpents, and they will drink deadly things, and when I heard them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and see them recover. And I told them, Colossians 2:15 tells them, having disarmed, who disarmed it? Jesus did. Having disarmed all principalities and power, and made him public spectacle of them, triumphed over them. And I looked at them and goes, so who is stronger, the one in you or the one in the world? And all the pastors start looking at me. I said, now everybody get together, grab a garbage bag, and pick up all these KFC bones and put them in a bag, because we're going to be done. Now, I usually do not scream at pastors when I'm angry.
I'm going to
forgive this person. But please understand. that. I was full of caffeine and potassium. I was like this the whole entire time.
The guys inside said you could help me.
And all I did was try to serve.
When we got back,
brothers and sisters, I'm gonna tell you right now, at 7
people came
o'clock,
over.
And it's just here, I just got to hold me. Pray
I had to ask myself, the gospel right on top of the altar.
Was I really ready to be in
the spirit of God starts
in and out of season?
I promise you, saying I could not.
People started being
they said you can
down.
Help me.
We start rebuking and casting out devils.
Says,
people start throwing up right there in the altar. There was a manifestation and move of God right there where it is that we're trying to curse. Let me tell you, when we understand that we have more power, when we understand that they're only trying to deceive us, when we understand that these are just mockers trying to prevent us to understand, but when we know, Jesus, if we're in need, you have given us the power and the authority to cast out demons.
Father, in the name of Jesus,
and we saw that
I put my hand in the center of his back.
Jesus would glorify many
what I felt.
Came to the
a
Lord.
Palpable spring
the registration started being
man's back.
Back.
He
as the follow-up and the baptism
stretches his neck and looks up at the
for
ceiling.
Two nights.
I don't even know
we
his
saw
name.
The Holy Spirit anointed.
Thank you, Father. My inside he embraced me like we
back.
Had known each other all
I was
our
sweaty.
Lives.
Venezuela's
and I'm
hurt.
Standing there
sweaty.
Taking it.
And it was
there's a whole grown man right up next to me.
But
it's still 7:05 now.
Let's look at Matthew 18.
I loaded his lumber. He pulled out of that.
There was a young man
left.
That was there.
I haven't laid eyes on
and he
him
came
since,
up to me
but
and
I
he
pray.
Said,
wherever he is speaking
he goes,
the
I
testimony
need to tell you something.
Of an instantaneous healing
he said,
over someone
said
who was spoken of.
Like a certain king
on a
see, the Spirit of God will tell you things to come.
See that guy out back.
This young man understood. Listen.
And you know, I faced this with my challenge that night. I laid down in bed, smiling. Testified to my wife. God used
wife.
Me today.
Unable to pay his master.
Of course, I'm proud.
The master yes, commanded that he would be
there's
sold.
Nothing good with pride.
I could feel
says,
in his heart.
He had,
and he was scared.
And that
I think every single one of us
that
have children to have our
it
wife.
It was simply this.
We
courage.
Understand that great
pay
need.
You everything.
As we were, he took me to the airport.
Gonna be that
we stood, and I could feel his pain. I could feel the fear.
What
again, like the wise man.
Jesus prayer.
When in need,
forgive
what
us
word
our debts,
you ask Jesus.
Will we speak with our gifting?
Right there in the parking lot of the airport.
What was the
I
word
his hand.
That was spoken in the power of the name of Jesus?
As we prayed,
called
I asked Jesus.
Father,
the Lord brought this scripture,
took him
Matthew 6:25.
And I said
and
simply,
therefore I say to you,
really
this is Jesus.
Pray that well. Father,
do not worry
in the name of Jesus
about your life.
And that was it.
Where you
so as we worship, I welcome you to stand.
What are you wearing your body?
I welcome you to worship with freedom.
For it's not life more than food
tonight because
and the body
he's
more
waiting
than
to be lifted on high.
Look at the birds of the
and
air.
And I want to thank you. So Father,
for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet
your
heavenly
son is
Father
enthroned already.
Are you
thank
not
you.
Of more value to them?
Then his master
and I grabbed the first part
him
of the scripture
him,
and I grabbed the end
I
and I said, do not worry about your life. Aren't you more valuable than this
on your fellow servant?
And he started to cry. He said, X,
and his master was angry,
I believe that.
And delivered him to the tormentors.
I'm just scared.
Until he should pay all
when we left, that we exchanged numbers, and
so, my heavenly Father, also
we tried to decide to stay in contact.
Each of you,
back and forth through WhatsApp, we started to communicate.
Heart, who does not
I was in Nigeria. When I sit down, I'm looking
now,
in a world news. I see Venezuela,
and
the video. The newscast was looking, recording people eating from the dumpsters,
but the fear of the Lord.
Saying
the
Venezuela
fear of the Lord is knowing
has
that
collapsed.
God is very real in your life.
I tried to communicate with him, and later on he reached out to me saying that somebody broke into his house.
And
they left everything, TV, they left everything, jewelry, they left everything. Everything that they took was only food. He said that his neighbor was shot. Was shot
and
because he was trying to hold and hide his little child's
this.
Formula.
And the Lord looked at me and said,
everything was happening.
Really,
the collapse is going. I said, let me help you. He says, they ceased.
So
there's, you cannot send or wire money in Venezuela. American currency has ceased. Everybody's trapped here. So we started to pray, and I could feel from that.
It's gonna
again, Because it's easy just to say a scripture.
It's going to put an accountability.
I said, Lord, should I remind them what you say?
And I said, God,
sometimes
I want to feel
in this year,
I want to feel
many
Lord
people are going to come near
every
you.
Moment in my life.
You're going to feel like, oh, let me tell you what the Bible says. Let me tell you. Yeah. Many of them already know.
Time, I started judging my words.
Let the Holy Spirit
holding my peace and not
just
striking
have to be
back
there.
When I'm all angry and mad.
Listen.
And hurt and wounded.
Tell them,
keep
what is it? As we did that, we prayed together. I said, Lord, remind your son of your work. Later on, I received that he crossed to Colombia. He says that there was many that scattered. He goes, I'm in Colombia. He goes, you think you could help me? So we wired money to Colombia. He was able to take it, praise God. He was able to reach out some people. And I praise the Lord today. That today, his station in Houston, Texas, he has a thriving church for 5 years. His wife and himself has full-time jobs. We received green cards to work. He is in the path to citizenship. And he just bought his first house.
And that is the instrument that the enemy will use.
I'll tell you, many times we look at this
of what the enemy is doing.
And we ask ourselves,
you know, you can
how is it?
Have
well,
this thing
just like the tiger, just like my friend. Sometimes we got to go through some things
on, you know, and speak these words
in all. This year.
And
the
I'm
best thing to do
the older you get,
is that when you find yourself in trouble, you ask Jesus.
You know, after a while, Amen. You hear it, and it just kind of rolls off your shoulders. You ain't praying for the Lord.
You know, this morning, as I took my son to school today, I had some coffee and a banana. I can just imagine having five or six coffees and those bananas. I mean, I tell you, that was just really, that hit right home. You know, I was moving prophetically as I woke up this morning. I didn't even know it. That's not my norm. Is not to get a banana and coffee. So, man, I tell you what, you know, he touched on something so important about serving. I was sitting there thinking about it, and you know, we have commitment is a word that comes up in my spirit, and I've been meditating on that all day long, and committing to be a servant is. Is an important thing, I think, for a Christian. You know, the commitment is a state of being dedicated to a cause. That's commitment. And to commit to be a servant is something that as soon as you hear that word servant, almost everybody in here can identify what a servant is, you know? But it requires some definition. It requires some walking out, because serving, when you're motivated to serve, is not that hard. But to serve when you're not motivated, when you're down or when you're doing this or you're doing that, and you don't really want to serve anybody, you want to just serve yourself, that's where it gets hard. And I think that for the move of God that's on the horizon, I think you're hitting a real key there. Because having the heart of a servant is really what Jesus is trying to impart in us and through us. Because having the attitude of a servant opens up your eyes in the realm of the Spirit. Because when you're a servant, the gift of discerning the spirits, the realm of the Spirit is opened up to you, so you can actually see by the Spirit what someone might need. You know? Silver and gold I don't have, but in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk.
Oh my gosh.
They were there to serve.
Lord.
And right now, the Lord has people in your life right now that you're coming in contact with that God has called you to serve. Some of you, as I'm even saying that, there are names that are coming into your spirit. There are faces that are coming into your spirit. Someone that just needs to be served. You know, years ago, I was a... I worked in a restaurant, a French restaurant downtown,
and good from evil.
I really enjoyed it. I mean, I really liked being a
as you get older,
you know, it was wonderful. I had to learn the menu, you know, you had to know the menu. You had to know it inside and out, what was good, what wasn't good, or whatever, you know. And so when somebody asked you about something, you had to be able to give it, you know, give the right answer and stuff like that. And that symbolizes or is relating to the Word of God. We got to know the Word of God. We got to know what we're serving. But sometimes you serve people that are difficult.
We're just a couple of old farmer papers.
And I used to have this one guy come in, he's a Korean guy, and he was always messing with me.
I'm in my prime.
Always somehow doing some kind of mind kung fu on me. And he just really enjoyed that.
So I confess what the Lord.
And so one day I go up to him, I said, you know, I bring the bread, that French bread that was just awesome. And I bring the bread and serve it down. He goes, I want some different
bread. The Lord is the strength of my heart. I just want the ends,
just the ends of the pieces.
I am strong and the Word of God abides in me and I overcome the wicked ones.
I want the ends. Yeah, that's what I want.
All my brothers and sisters out there, redo your thinking.
You never ask for this. But I'm not saying that. I just keep my mouth shut. I go in there and just chopped up about three or four loaves, you know, and just chop the ends off. And then the French cook. Max, what are you doing?
Forever.
I go, this guy wants this.
Away,
I'm
goes, got a brand
don't,
new body.
You don't have to do that for him. Just give him a regular him. Meal. I said, no, this guy comes in every day. And, you know, so I went ahead and I did it.
Amen.
You know? And he didn't eat any of it.
Examine your heart. Listen to what comes
out. See, serving people doesn't always end up the way you think it's going
to
end up.
Ask the Lord to
in fact, sometimes
you.
When I serve or I give to somebody or I do this or do that, I don't expect anything back.
Release them in Jesus' name.
And you know what that's like. Amen. You know you've given and done Amen. This and that person or whatever turns on you or, you know what I'm saying? But it's the act of serving that releases the anointing from within your midst that gives that gift to those people that are around. If they don't want the gift, it's fine. Just put it back on the truck. But you can't take it personally.
Praise
and one
Lord.
Of the things I see have really messed up a lot of Christians is they've helped a lot of people and they ended up not working Amen. Out and Don't they ended up getting back. Mad at that person. Now they got to deal with unforgiveness.
Amen.
So just recognize this. A lot of people that you're serving, you're not looking for something back. What you're looking for is one that is under the training harness of God. What you're looking for is the release of the power of the Holy Spirit within you that gives that heart of a servant, but it's released through love. Love and being a servant, they work, they're like married together. You can't have one without the other.
I can see my shortcomings.
And so committing to that is a huge thing.
Says, to look upon
and you talked about New Year's resolutions.
And so
it really is commitments.
But
and I don't know if you read my mail over there, but yeah, I wanted to work out, and yeah, it was going good. It's going real good. And all of a sudden, I even bought a machine. I bought one of them ellipticals, you know. It looks really good in my garage.
They're in a level of torment.
And I was using it.
And so that's why it's so important.
And all of a sudden, it stopped. Now, I'm going
to
pick it back up. You guys can check me on that. I come back, but I'm picking it back up. But there's got to be a commitment. A commitment is something that's beyond feeling.
And the thing about it is,
it's something that is so deep within your heart that just becomes part of your fiber, becomes part of your being.
I mean, I've had that thought.
And, you know, working with athletes, for years, you know, and seeing the commitment of these young people come in day in and day out, get up in the morning, they go and they commission, and then they got their school, and then they got this. You know, sometimes we need to have some things to do to stir up a commitment within us. I just want to share one thing real quick in the scriptures, real quick.
And
it's one of my heroes in the Bible. In the book of Genesis, chapter 2,
you get to a place in your life where it's just not
verses 3. I'm not going
to
read the whole thing.
A lot of people need to
but this is about Abraham.
And one of the things I would submit and, to you, and I've said this here many times,
Abraham was a really
where you see Jesus.
I just admire Abraham. I can't wait to meet him.
And we need to forgive people.
I just can't. I don't see how he did what he did.
Revelation of actually,
you know, now he made mistakes, you know, but
and have an understanding that he
when he sat
humanity,
there and took
you know,
his most precious
present,
thing, his
he
son.
Said these words, Father, forgive him. They don't know what they're
and
doing.
And some of you know the story
and
that,
so you, really
you know, the Lord was going to see that if he would give up his only son.
You can give them that,
and
that
let me just read this a little bit.
And so they can understand. And
so his son comes
person,
up and they're gonna you know, come to the altar. And the son goes, in verse 8 goes, the son goes, Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood
But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. And they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son.
You know?
But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here I am. He said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for burnt offering.
You can release.
So he was going to slay his son.
Of your spirit that carries power.
I think about that, and I've got a son.
Something
and I don't know that I could do that. I just don't know that I don't want to say I could do something like that.
Because when
but the commitment that Abraham had to God was just beyond understanding. And see, so deep was his commitment that the angel had to call him twice. And Abraham, so, Abraham.
That's you know, Jesus did.
That's how deep his commitment was.
Amen.
He was going to go through
the
with
book
it.
Of Acts, chapter
see,
3.
See, that's the kind of commitment that eight, I believe we have inside of us.
It says, thus has God fulfilled.
You're born again. You got the Lord
by
inside
the
mouth
of you. Of his prophets, that his
committed.
Christ, the Messiah,
and by taking the attitude
the
heart of a servant,
and be afflicted,
you're releasing
and
that within you, and you can begin to identify it
so
with it. You can begin to get around the teaching of the Holy Spirit concerning to live a life committed
to
serve
humanity. No, that won't happen to you, Lord.
And everyone in here has that ability.
Satan. How'd you like
and
to
I really believe
Lord
this year is not
I mean,
just this year. We're in a season. We have an open window
people.
Right now, saints.
And
it's time to start preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Every one of you has a ministry in
years
here.
That
you're all ministers.
Things come
and
out
you all have callings and you're all going to stand before the Lord one day
said,
and give an account for your
them.
Life. He's going to ask
and
you, did you do what I sent
you
in this earth to do? Did you complete your mission?
I mean, have you ever just
you're gonna call your name out?
Somebody
you're gonna
you
hear
know,
your
driving
name.
Along, and you didn't really
your
cut
name
and
all
off.
The angels
really didn't
and all the
that person in
host
the car.
Of
you know, you can
and
tell they're calling color. So I would
just
I
would submit to
you different signs.
That tonight is a night where you make a commitment
like,
within your heart.
I didn't even do anything wrong
to serve those that are
guy.
Around you.
You know,
and
but
to build up
to realize
the body of Christ.
He's being manipulated by the enemy.
You know,
the
church that is being built right now.
You
is with
saying?
Human
and so, you know,
people.
Many of you probably have been in situations like
stuff.
That. You might, you know, on the way home, somebody might cut you off.
And it can't
and,
no longer
you know,
be
and you know
about the
do.
Church. It's got to be about the
God
mission
bless
of the
them.
Church.
That was a magnificent
and that's who you are.
That they did
and you're
going
to find fulfillment in your life when you begin to step
my,
out.
My athletes could never figure areas. Out why I was like that. He said, why,
you know, Andrew,
you
the Lord has really given you a servant's heart. You've invested in the kingdom of God and way beyond what you even know.
And
God is you're gonna reap that harvest this year. But the harvest that you desire,
the
things that you desire in your heart, what God wants to reap.
So verse 19 says, so repent, change your mind and purpose. Turn around and return to God, that your sins may be erased.
As his fire would come all the way through your bones. Even in the midst
really
of the very fiber of your being,
it says, a
it says in the scripture that the Holy Spirit
and
can quicken
with fresh air
our mortal
may
flesh.
Come from the presence of the Lord.
It's a quickening that you're going
so,
to experience.
You know, the Peter is
God
preaching
says, I'm
here,
not done.
You know,
there's
to,
another mountain
to
climb.
The unsaved,
but God has
the
equipped
Jews
you to do
and what they've done and all that.
Just
so
know this, the
to
seeds
so
that
it's
you
relevant
sowed
to them, but it's also
within
relevant
the last
to us.
6 months.
But that word repent is very important. And one of the things, you
and
know,
you
it talks
it so
about the scriptures in the last days
would
be false prophets.
You weren't one
and,
that was trying to get anything out
of
anything. You're one that answered
well,
a
one
call.
Of the things about
and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to you and got up and you went.
Not talking about repentance. If they're not
and
talking
God
about
is blessing
change,
you tonight,
I always wonder if it's an authentic
praise
word
the Lord. God is so good.
Because that's
thank
what
you,
they
Jesus.
Do. But see, when you tell some,
you,
lead somebody into repentance,
that young
or you
man.
Say
go
you have to
are.
Repent,
praise the Lord.
They have
Charles,
to explain that. You know, well, what
praise
do you mean? You know, I mean, I've repented for my sins, but repentance is change.
You know.
And one of the things that's coming to us am requiring of us is change.
I'm going to go ahead and do
and
a few
And you know,
things,
we have to change some things. And you're probably very much aware of that.
Here,
the Holy Spirit,
and then
hello,
other people
if you're on earth
things,
and you're in the body of Christ,
revival,
he says,
amen,
I want you to change.
So
I want you
I just
to want to
encourage you, brother.
Ways,
I just want you to know that God is able to bring things together that scatter
apart.
And
God wants to bring change
and I see the Lord just bringing some things together in your life to bring it into a focus.
Some of you
you know, everybody has a vision, but your vision has not yet come into clarity. Holy Spirit
has brought in a level of conviction.
You know, where it comes
not
into focus over a period of time.
Or anything like
the Holy
that.
Spirit is going to bring
the
focus in your
of
life,
the Holy Spirit
the vision
brings
of your
things
life.
To attention.
So that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt what your
it,
mission
and your
is
will
and
you
what your giftings are. And one of the things that we're sharing
now
about the heart
the
of a servant, someone that will
gives
go
you
help.
A path.
And you've
and, you know,
used
you,
that.
You
you've been that way a lot of your life.
Like
you've
that,
gone
I know
and
you
helped
can
people.
Do it.
You know, like somebody
and I'm
called
aware of this.
Up and help
I'm so
with this, help with that.
Attitude,
and you go and you do it. And that's the heart of a servant.
But it doesn't
You're not trying to lead anything. But the thing about it is, the
but
Lord says,
the
I've called you to
the will of your
leader.
Heart and the purpose of
See
your heart and the
one
attitude
serves.
Of your prayer and the communication
And so
of
God
Holy
is doing
Spirit
a big change in your life. Even right now, you are in transition.
And, the direction
and though the transition is rough,
it's just
and though it is not
to
smooth, just understand this, that God
That's
is
the
at the end
fire of
that
God
road
manifesting
that right
in
now.
Your life. Because there's
and
a desire within
you
to become complete and perfect.
My spirit,
you
asking the Lord for direction and stuff like that.
And
when God's giving you some direction
that
tonight,
place without
and he says,
the
just
Holy
begin
Spirit.
To follow me and let that
and
light that's
that
in you shine.
To
don't be afraid
you're not really
to
trying
release
to get somewhere you are
my word as it
in
comes
you.
Into your mouth. Because
and
when
so
you begin to start praying
in the sense of
God's
going to
give you opportunities. Just believe me, you're going
to
come against people. They're going
to
have problems. Some of them are going to be alcoholics.
And that is the direction. That he's taking,
and they may be drunk at the time, but
because
God's going to use you
all about.
To set them
that's
free.
That's the objective.
Because you're
going to
serve
the
them,
Spirit,
you're
going to
serve up
the
power of Jesus Christ, and they'll
that's
be set free by the power
about,
of God, and
you
it's
know,
going to blow
he's
your
coming,
mind.
He will baptize you in the
you're
Holy
say,
Spirit,
how in the
and then
world
says,
did that
and fire. Well, they left
See,
out the fire part when I got baptized in
the Holy
Spirit.
Shows up. Amen.
But the fire was
it's
there,
not,
believing.
It's not us. I have no ability to be able to do what I'm doing right
there
now.
Were things
but the
that
Spirit
away,
of God, the Holy Spirit,
fall
can
away.
Flow through a person
it took a period
and touch
of
a person's
years
life. Somebody
to come
don't
to that
know.
Place
Amen.
Where that change and that conforming to his image, you know, had to,
yeah, my
had
sister
to,
back
to
here,
take
I just
place.
To give you
it was
a
process.
I see a word teacher comes up
But if one day is 1,000 years to God, that means 1 hour is 44 years here.
Well, praise God. Well, I just want to encourage you because God's going to open up some doors. I'm going to tell you, and what I mean by that is promotion.
It takes
time.
Time is here,
horizon,
but time's
okay?
not there.
Because it's what when God watches you and
so
he sees how you do this and you do that,
Holy
that's
Spirit
who
we
where
all
promotion
have
comes
that
from.
Training
it's not going to come
us,
from individuals.
And so the,
see,
the desire and the prayers that you
but
put
the Lord
before
watches
the Lord,
you every
he's
day.
Answering
and
them,
I talked about the heart of a servant, one that's serving
that's
people that don't want
desire.
Need to be served. They need to be
if
slapped upside the head.
If
you have served them and been obedient to the Lord, and God says, because of your obedience, I'm opening up the doors of opportunity to you. It might have been a transition even. I don't, Lord,
he
didn't
said
show me
he's fled from the
I just know one
Lord.
Thing. That
That's
promotion
the
has come down. Well, you've been
I can
faithful.
Think of. Where are you going to go?
And the Lord says, I call you faithful. He recognized you in the midst of the congregation tonight that you might know how much he loves you and how much
so
he cares for you. And God says, I'm going
Lord,
to recover
is,
those things that have been stolen from you. I will recover,
to
says the Lord. My hands are not too short. I have seen your situation. I am aware of it. I have heard your prayers. And I am moving on tonight. And by the angels of God, he commissions them. I wish I could, but he commissions them to,
and
he's sending them into
he
your life tonight
to
in Jesus' name. God is so good, I declare it. My sister right next to her, I
and
want to give you a...
refinement came on
Amen.
Him. And
God
he learned
so good.
Some lessons
you
when he was
that?
In the
you
belly
like
of the fish.
Look at...
Now, a lot of people
all
think,
right, well,
that's
it makes it easy to prophesy when you got
that's
somebody
a,
going like
no,
that, you know? And hey, this... Yeah, right on. Amen.
But the world
praise the Lord. Boy, God just did a work on you, didn't he? He's all over
you, sister.
He's
going to
walk out here with the anointing. Praise God. God is so good. I just want
to
create that it says, the joy of the Lord is my strength, right? And with joy draws out from the waters of salvation. And joy is a power. It's not a feeling.
And we don't know if he died in there, but, you know, because he...
And that's why the enemy has been battering you and battering and battering. He wants to take the joy away from you. He wants
you
to think that joy is a feeling. He wants you to say, well, you know, I'm going to get those feelings. It's all night and I'm joyful. God says the joy of the Lord is your strength. It is a power that resides within you. It's a power that has to be released during the trial.
But when he came out of that, he delivered the word
of the
Lord.
Just count it all joy. But the joy comes from the fact that he is conforming you into his image, because when you confront the trial, you can rejoice and be joyful because I am being conformed
formed in his image. So the process no longer is painful. But it's you expect that change in how he is maneuvering. Amen. And so that's why the enemy has attacked you so hard, trying to get you into a feeling, trying to get to this place where I feel good. This is in order. This is in this order. But you notice it ain't in order.
And repented. So,
right?
You know, repentance,
God's going to put it on order
something
because
that
you're
we need to embrace.
That joy is a power.
Repentance
and he's
brings the presence of God
you
in our
are a
life.
Person who releases
repentance brings
joy.
Direction.
Amen. In fact, when you lay hands on the sick
the
or you lay hands on people, and when you minister, you find out that the word of encouragement and the power of joy is what flows through you many, many times. But God says, I'm going
to
give you a gift,
that.
And the Holy Spirit is the one that gives them, right?
Eyes.
He's going
to
give you the,
we all have
the gift of
the
word
the Lord.
Of wisdom.
We all have a desire to see into that
because
realm.
Because it is needed
that
where you are planted
that.
At.
But it's a
wisdom
process
is
of
not to be
the
found
opportunity
there.
To do that. That's done
not
by
the wisdom
the Holy
of God.
Spirit. But you know what?
And
if
you
God
are
going to
be the one that brings the wisdom.
It's just one
it may not be received, but God says, bring the wisdom.
To carry out our mission.
And some will receive and some won't.
You know, God doesn't
says,
send you into a job without equipment.
There's a great need there. Amen. God
he doesn't
so
say, go dig a hole without
Praise
giving
Jesus.
You a shovel.
Who else is that? I think it's you right there. Yeah.
And sometimes I've learned that the Lord has given me equipment, but I never asked him how to use it. I'm going
to
start digging just thinking
he's
I know,
supposed
you know,
to. I don't
there's
know.
So much to,
I just want to
following
give you a word of
the Holy
amen.
Spirit that I've
you
learned
know,
over a period of years.
Give
it's
a dream.
Just simply communication and following his
sometimes.
Lead.
Yeah.
And,
I,
and
I just, as
that,
I said, I see a
we
dream
get down on
that God
ourselves
is creating
because
within
when that light shines right? on us,
and
we understand you've come into
oriented,
the light. You've not
right?
resisted it.
It says, without
a
vision,
it,
the
so
people
that
perish.
Light
without
comes
vision,
on us and we're
people live unrestrained
naked.
Lives.
He's able to divide the spirit
and God is
and
giving
the
you a dream and a vision. This is not something
that
might be something
on our life
or something along those lines. But I just want to
embrace that light because that is the only way that we're going
to
get into that area of refinement.
To start dreaming
that we
again
him to
because
do.
I don't know what happened,
prayer,
but
God
something just like chopped off. Where,
he didn't sit
you
there
know,
and
oh,
recording angels
that.
Sat there and wrote
work.
It down.
This
well, you know,
that.
He
and God
this
says,
back,
don't
no, no.
allow
and
that
you know,
to happen because I placed that within you as my seed. And he'll water it. But you got to hang on to
so
it,
if you
amen.
Wonder why
because when
you're
you know that God
has
given you a
in,
vision, given you a dream,
or
you got
to
hang on tight,
in.
Amen. God
and
brought me down here in 1982.
In. It's because
and
you
I
threw
had,
up that
I had
prayer.
A dream, okay? I didn't know what
and
the dream was.
You got to a place
okay?
at some point
but he
that
told me
you
to come
realized
here, he was going to fill me
that
with power,
that was more
and I was going to meet my wife. And everybody I met, not one of those was my wife.
The biggest thing not that attacks the body of Christ is to make us carnal.
Hang on a long time, actually.
To not believe.
But finally, I got to my destination.
Yeah, you know, to bring us to a
I'm
place
I'm not saying you're seeking
just,
a husband.
We're neutralized.
I'm just going to encourage you. Amen.
We're so consumed
God
with
is
our
able
life.
To fulfill those dreams.
And consumed with what other people
dream.
Are doing. And, you know,
the dream
consumed
is
with
direction.
The football game. I don't usually
I
consume,
you know
but I used
about.
To. Not, nothing I'm wrong with watching a football game. But when that becomes your life and you're starting to paint yourself and you know you're taking your shirt off and you're then you got a problem, I think. I'm just kidding. If you, that's what you're doing, it's okay. I don't, you know, more power to you. This it's okay. But you know, you have freedom in the Lord. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, that you're here tonight. I usually call you guys the cream of the crop because that's how I see you. I was over in South Africa in a maximum security prison. I mean, there were this isn't like a maximum security. This is like bad place. And Peter Van Niekerk, who we've had come here, you know, that's where he took me right away. That's just Peter. And I didn't know what I was getting into, but I walked in there and they were like, it was a small room, but there were like 300 prisoners packed into it. And we were in another room ready to go into this room where they were at, and they were singing. It was so loud. That it was cement block, obviously, but it was so loud that I had a hard time talking to Peter in the other room. They were singing so loud, and they took us to the room. I mean, it was almost deafening. And when I got up to minister, the Holy Spirit did something to me. I couldn't see any of these people as murderers or any of the things that I saw them as he saw them. It was amazing to me. I came out and I said, and what God was doing and what he was saying, I'll never forget, it was this young man there and the Holy and they didn't know what to do with me but the Lord gave me a word for him and talked about how he was called to be a teacher and this and that, and this guy just started crying. He lost it right there because he was called to do that, and he got off, but God did not lift off the call on his life. He didn't say, you're not going to be, you're still going to be that. And so the perception that you and I have about people must be governed by the Holy Spirit to see the potential in their lives. Because when you begin to see, as the Lord sees in someone, the potential of their life, God empowers you to speak into the potential in their life. But you're not just speaking the potential life, you are speaking to the very call. I call it a call that God had placed in individuals. And when you speak into the life and the Lord is in your mouth, it's like a wind. And they catch fire, and they get on fire for God. Because when God uses you to deliver a personal message to somebody that only could have come from Him, they are touched in such a deep way that brings about change in their life. Why? Because the Lord words, when God sends a word, it does not return to Him void. It does what He purposed it to do. The word of God is nigh thee, in your mouth. And that's where you want to get to the place, because as He refines you and conforms you into His image, you begin to understand what it said about Jesus. It said that He only spoke the words of the Father. That means everything that came out of Jesus' mouth had happened. Remember when He got and they opened up the book of Isaiah and He preached the favorable year of the Lord? He stopped in the middle of the verse in Isaiah because the next word, and the judgment of God. If He had spoken that, it would have happened. So every word that Jesus uttered came from the Father. And it says in the scriptures, He says, because He only spoke the words of the Father, the Spirit of God came on Him without measure. So as you are conformed to His image, and as you learn to speak His words into people's life, the anointing, the power of God is raised up inside of you to such a dimension that you will even be amazed that He could ever even do that through you. And you'll leave that circumstance, that point of contact, that ministry, and you do nothing but praise God because you knew it was Him that delivered that message to that person that was hurting. Or that person that needed encouragement. Or that person that needed even correction. You know, Stephen brought a lot of correction. He preached. In fact, it says that the spirit of wisdom was so strong on them, they couldn't even argue with him. And they were like getting so mad at him, they decided the only thing we can do is stone this guy. And so they do it. So they're stoning him. Now, I don't know about you. If I had a rock hit my head right now, and I don't know if I could bless him, I would probably take a rock and throw it back. I mean, I would like to say I'm in that place where Stephen is, and maybe if I get put under that test, I can maybe practice what I'm preaching tonight. But the point is he's getting nailed by rocks. And what does he say? He says two things. First of all, God opens his eyes to see into the realm of the Spirit, and he sees Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father. And what does he say? He says, Father, don't hold this against these people. Forgive them, because they didn't know what they were doing. And what kind of transformation, what kind of conforming into the image of Jesus was happening in Stephen? And it's amazing to me. You read some of these accounts in the Bible and you think, how in the world did these guys do what they did? How did Abraham take his son and put him on an altar and was willing to sacrifice him? And so deep was his commitment that the angel had to call out twice to Abraham, 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 don't do it. I mean, I just marvel at some of the things, but I want to encourage you because God can do the same thing in us that he did with these saints that went before us. So the repentance is so important because it opens you up to bring change into your life, which you're crying out for. And repentance is not something that brings you down. Repentance is something that raises you up. And that's really what's in your heart. Some of you are feeling this experience. Some of you are, I mean, when I'm taking a shower, when I'm anywhere, I mean, the Holy Spirit follows me around all the time. I'm actually trying to follow him. But he's there. And I talk with him. And I want to get to know him more. And that's where you're at right now. And he hears you, everything you say. And he knows every thought that comes across your mind. And he knows your heart because he looks upon the heart. And so repent, and it's okay to judge yourself to a degree, but when you get so deep into self-analyzation that it puts you down and brings you low, where you can't think you can do anything and you're unworthy to do anything, that's not from the Lord. He didn't die on the cross to make you feel bad. He didn't die on the cross to say, look in the mirror and judge yourself because you got gray hair. I mean, I had black hair. I had blonde hair because it was soaked in chlorine for years. And I stopped diving and it turned black and now it's getting gray. It's got gray in my nose first, so I figure that's wisdom. My nose is wise, what's happened to the rest of me? Now, how did I know that? Self-analyzation. You know, I'm looking at it like, what in the world's going on in here? I'll just cut it. And I started getting gray hair and I started cutting. And I get in my eyebrows, I pull it out, but it's there. So if you don't see it there, just know I yanked it out. It's okay, because I can't, it's like I pull out one and three return. So, and then you hear this thing like, if you pull it out, then three or four will come back in. And I said, well, maybe I shouldn't pull it out. I mean, you know, this is a problem. And I started to go, what am I doing? Just go for it. I said, let it happen. So I just want to encourage, self-analyzation is a killer. And if you can get somebody out of that, now they, instead of using the mirror in the morning, they're using the Holy Spirit as their mirror. And that's where conforming to his image comes into focus. Your life is a lot like a Polaroid picture. My life is like, you know, it's not exactly comes into focus right away, but over a period of time, you start to realize what your mission is, what you're to look like, and what you're to be able to pursue. Times are refreshing. Some of you are being refreshed right now. It says, and that he may send you the Christ the Messiah, who before was designated and appointed for you, even Jesus, whom heaven must receive and retain until the time for the complete restoration of all that God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets for ages past. The restoration of all things. You know, this world, you know, at the beginning of creation, God created this planet and it was perfect. And man was perfect too. And then there was the fall. But it said of Jesus that he was the second Adam in the scriptures.
They're beyond what we can ask or think. So if you think it's something, that's probably not the Lord, amen? Because God's going to go way past that. So be patient right now, okay? You got time. Time is on your side at this point, amen? Lord, fill her up to overflowing with the Holy Spirit and bless her life in Jesus' name. God is so good. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God is so good. Lord, I just thank you for my brother here. He's been so faithful holding up this phone the whole time. How can he do it, Lord? Can he do it for another hour? Can he do it for 3 hours, Lord? I think he can, because he's holding in his right hand, which is his dominant hand. It says in the scriptures that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. Amen. And the right hand is a symbol of power. Amen. And power in the Holy Spirit is how the Holy Spirit is training you. You're going to have such an appetite for prophecy. You're going to want to know what's going on in the future. It's like you listen to this person over here and let's hear what they say. And this, well, they're saying something different than that. And all these people are saying something different. You're like, and you're just saying, well, the real Jesus, just please stand up. God is going to lead you in the scriptures and you will get interpretations. Whether it's right or wrong, it doesn't really matter. The fact that you're seeking him, he will answer, because when you seek him through the scriptures and you seek him in the words of the prophetic, you're actually knocking on a door and the Holy Spirit will open up and he will reveal it to you. For even you have even understood what in the world was that dream about. I have no idea. Well, that was a pizza dream. And some of them might be pizza dreams. But other dreams are actually the gift of discerning the spirits that is operating in your ministry. You're seeing the spirits that are behind these evil things that are not just going on in other people's lives, but also within the earth. And God will give you understanding how to not just use that gift, but get to get on your knees and pray for the deliverance of those people that you're seeing in your dreams. So I just want to encourage you, that is what's functioning, so you understand what the Holy Spirit is doing. And God is going to raise you up, man. You're like a fiery ball of God that's just going to go off. Amen. And that word commitment, committing to the Lord, committing your life to God, it's the most satisfying life there is with all of its problems. And God says, I will add relationships to you. I will do it, says the Spirit of God. Allow me to do it, okay? Don't you try to do this. Don't you try. Allow me to do it, because God wants to give you way where beyond what you could ask or think. Lord, I thank you for my brother. Fill him up to overflowing with your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. God is so good. What's your name?
Isaiah.
Isaiah. And you're Hezekiah?
Yes.
Thank God.
The power of God, salvation.
Wow, I was just reading Isaiah. Man, God is so good. Amen. It's so good to see you, man. It really is.
Good to be back.
Amen. Isaiah. Oh, man. Have you ever read the prophet Isaiah?
A little bit.
Yeah. You know what happened to him, don't you? I think he was putting a log and sawed in half. But that's not going to happen to you.
No.
I hope not.
No, but no, the prophet Isaiah, if you read, and sometimes he's like talking about this, and all of a sudden he goes off into the future, and he talks about how he sees the planet Earth reeling to and fro like a drunkard. And what he was seeing is what the Lord is going to be doing, and you're going to witness this. In your life, in my life, we're going to see the return of Jesus Christ. And this planet is going to be renovated. It's going to be changed. Because he creates a new heavens and a new earth. And when you leave your body, if when I left my body, I would be in the presence of the Lord. Just like the thief was on the cross. Remember what Jesus said to him? He said, today you will be with me in paradise. But God has created a new heavens and a new earth for us to live. It's amazing when you read the scriptures and you see how the dead in the Christ will be raised first, and then we that are remain and live here will change in a twinkling of an eye. We're given a new body. You see, this body is corrupt. It wears out, it ages. But we got it. Our spirit has to have a body, and it's going to give us a new body. Amen? An eternal body. And so these are the things that you have to look forward to. So I just want to encourage you that the hunger that you have inside of you to follow the Lord is going to give you the information to preach the gospel in this season, in these last days. And what do you mean? I'm not a minister. I don't do that. No, you are a minister. You're a minister to those that are around you. Your congregation is everybody that you know. And God will give you a preceding word to minister to individuals. And you're going to recognize this is the opening that guy was talking to me about. This is the opportunity for me to be able to speak into someone's life. To just give them a word of encouragement. And I will tell you this, the secret or the way that prophetic works, the way that words of knowledge work. All you need to do is when you see that opening, you just say, hey, can I pray with you? And you just pray a blessing over them. Just, Lord, just bless them. It doesn't have to be a fancy. Just bless them or whatever. And then when you're done with that prayer, you stop. And any thought that comes into your mind, you tell that individual, I feel like the Holy Spirit is saying, and then you say it. And you're going to find out it's going to come straight from heaven. And even you are going to be amazed. And the person that you minister is going to sit there and say, oh, how in the world did you know that? Who are you? And you say, I'm just a servant of God. That's how the prophetic works. And that's what's going to start to function in your ministry. And just what I told you, Isaiah, remembered, read that book. Read Isaiah and see how he prayed. He had more details of the crucifixion than the four Gospels. And he wasn't even there.
It's amazing. God wants to do the same thing in your life, because a prophetic mantle that is on me is now going to come upon you in Jesus' name. Lord, I just release the prophetic over my brother in Jesus' name. Fill him up to overflowing with your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. How where'd that come from?
Joy.
Oh, okay.
Joy brought it.
Oh. Amen. Did I get you, sister? Did I already get you? I got everybody here? Okay. Well, good.
Did you know that Hezekiah means the power of God?
No, I didn't. I did not know that. Did I say that over him? Oh, praise the Lord. That was so good. Amen. So, yeah, just so you guys know that this prophetic anointing, when I first got exposed to... when I first got exposed to prophets, I just watched them, and I didn't realize that I sat there and said to myself, "This I could see how this could really help people." And I had no idea that this was ever going to happen. But what I was sharing with you is exactly how it works. The gift of prophecy is for everybody. Okay, it doesn't mean you're a prophet, but anybody can prophesy. And the way it functions is you pray, just pray a blessing. Now, there's other people say, but I just know, just pray a blessing over them. And then when you're done praying, just stop. And when thoughts start coming through your mind, just repeat them and say, "I feel like the Holy Spirit's saying." Don't say, "Thus says the Lord," you know, because it may not be the Lord. But it will be the Lord, because He will honor that. Believe me, there is a. I was over in South Africa, and there is a street evangelist that came up to me, and he was part of our team. And at the end of our mission, he goes, "I really want that gift that you have. I really, really want it. So I want to be able to go to the streets and pick people out and do all that." And I said, "Well, it's the Holy Spirit's the one that gives that, but I'll pray for you." So I prayed for him, and my hands got really hot. I've had that happen, not like that. They were like, I thought they were on fire, so I knew he got something. Well, 2 weeks later, he sends me I share this with everybody here. He sent me a voice text and said he was buying a car and the deal went south, so he went up to the pub and grub in South Africa to get something to eat, and he saw a friend of his there. So he goes and talked to his friend, and his friend had another person with him there. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him, says, "You have a word for this guy." And he goes, the guy says, "Can I pray for you?" And the guy goes, "Yes, please." So he prays for him, he prays a blessing. After that, words of knowledge start flowing through him. And he said he saw him as a Jabez. And he says, you're in a terrible situation, right? I said, it was so detailed. And the guy he's in a bar. And people are watching this. And he breaks down and crying and just starts grabbing the guy and just like, and he goes, "How do you know?" He goes, "Who are you?" And he goes, "I'm just a servant of Jesus Christ." See, this thing is something that works outside these walls. And we just need to be bold and start to do it. We've been too church-minded. Let's build the church. Let's get this. It's out there. It's out there.
It doesn't matter the building, it matters the spirit behind it.
Exactly. Yeah, because you know, the traditions of men are a very lethal thing in this country. I would compare our churches in our country like the Church of Laodicea. They're not hot, they're not cold. And just like tonight, there was a deliverance that took place and other things took place. That's the Lord doing that. That's not us. But He's doing it because He's the head. And I don't care about money. I don't care about. He just said, "Come here and do this." And I didn't even know. I didn't have a place. I had nowhere to go. I mean, he said, "Go to Chapin, and I'll give you Chapin, Prosperity, and Newberry." I go, "Great, where'd I go?" And there was a house down the street here that the walls were knocked out, that Roger, who runs this place, wanted to run a ministry out of it. And Alicia, wherever she is, she left. Calls me and says, she goes, "Hey, there's a house that Roger wants to do some ministry out of, and my son went to school here." So I went and talked to her. I said, "Yeah, go ahead and use that." So I go over there, and our first meeting we're going to have over there, he had doing a garage sale. So he said, "Do you mind if you meet in the gym?" So no, that's fine with me. So I come over here,
these church, it was a church meeting here, so they had the chairs and all that stuff. And I go, I think my people like to meet over there. Do you mind if, I maybe 10 people came in. I said, you guys mind if I use the gym? Because, no, that's fine. I go, well, how much is it? You know, any rent? Said, no, it's free. He wouldn't, and I said, well, can I help you with electricity? He said, no. So, you know, and I'm a coach, so I'm in a gym, and I'm like, Holy Spirit, you really got to.
Right.
So I feel like home here. So anyway, but I'm retired now, so I just do this.
Yeah. Do you know Jim Riley?
I do very well.
Okay.
Yes. And Jim and I go way, way back. Yes.
He was the first, like, 11 years ago, he was the, that was the first, like, prophetic, you know, that I had been around, that I had heard or seen. Mm-hmm. We have 7 kids now.
Well, do you? Yeah. Jim's is a very, very good prophetic gift. In fact, I'll probably have him out here at some point. He goes a lot of, goes to India a lot.
Does he?
Yeah, he travels a lot.
How is Rachel?
I mean, I haven't seen Rachel. I think she's doing fine. I haven't seen Rachel. I run into Jim every now and then. In fact, he called me up the other day. But he's doing good. Jim had some heart issues. Yeah, he did have some heart issues. And I think he had a couple of bypasses or something, but he's doing good now. Yeah, he told me it was a miracle because he said he was about to ready to have a major heart attack or something. But they caught it. So, but he's doing good. He's doing good. But we go way, way back.
Okay.
Yeah.